Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. I'm thinking about relations between Iran and Russia, and one of the unforeseen consequences of Russia's illegal war of unprovoked aggression in Ukraine is the way it's shifted the dynamics in the Middle East. Now, Russia pursued this balancing act between the State of Israel and the Islamic Republic of Iran for 4 decades. Remember, the Russian Federation, as we know it, came into existence in 1991. And in the Soviet era, the Soviet Union had leaned heavily towards the states hostile to Israel, but they also had a very poor relationship with Iran. And remember, the Iran-Iraq War in the 1980s, the Soviet Union was the biggest single supplier of Iraq, despite the Ba'athist regime savagely repressing the Communist Party in Iraq. So much for communist solidarity. Putin, he visited Israel several times, was rapturously received. At least 10% of the population came from Russia, in the last 50 years or so. At least another 10% came from other former Soviet countries like Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and so on. So he described it as a Russophone country. He used to meet Red Army veterans there. But nevertheless, the Soviet Union had recognized Palestine decades ago. The Russian Federation continued that. The Israelis were aware of this. Netanyahu certainly tried not to offend Russia and even said they had a common cause against Islamic extremism. Islamic extremism in Netanyahu's book is simply not wanting to be dispossessed, oppressed, and suffer genocide at the hands of Israel. That's extreme. According to him. And Putin would say the same about anyone in Chechnya or any Tatar who wouldn't want to suffer a similar fate. But anyway, a lot of those who are hostile to Israel are not necessarily amicable towards Iran, it being Persia and not Arabic. But this Ukraine war has completely upended this. Now, although Israel is officially neutral on the Ukraine issue, everybody knows that Israel is aligned to the United States, but it doesn't actually stick its neck out for Uncle Sam, even though the United States helps Israel so much. But since all these sanctions on Russia, it's found itself in the same boat with Iran, even though Russia's voted for them, some of these sanctions, and Russia sort of played both sides of the street on the idea of Iranian nuclear weapons. So when President Raisi and his foreign minister were killed in a helicopter crash on May the 19th, that didn't change anything with regard to Russo-Iranian relations. There'll be no diminution in the scale of commerce between the two. Now, even the Iranian opposition figures tend to favor cordial relations with Russia and say, well, at least the Ayatollahs are right on this one, that we don't want the United States to dominate. And the United States has these various military base in the Middle East, which are unpopular. If it was democracy, wouldn't be allowed anywhere. But the sale of Iranian Shahid, as in martyr drones, have been important for Russia's war effort. Now, Iran acknowledges they sold these drones to Russia, but said it only did so prior to the Ukraine war and stopped since. The United States and other intelligence agencies say that's an absolute lie. They have incontrovertible evidence of large-scale shipments since the 24th of February 2022. Now, the United States further claims that Iran is the vendor of shells, anti-tank weapons, body armor, and all sorts of other parts of military hardware and other kit to Russia. And it's almost certain that Russia has built a factory in its own territory to manufacture these Shahid drones according to Iranian specifications. So you see how they're increasingly enmeshed. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they have a coalition of interests. And indeed, President Lukashenko of Belarus, he was cordially received in Iran last year, one of the few non-Soviet countries in which he can be assured of a cordial welcome. He did visit Azerbaijan this year, which Iranians will be less pleased about, but you know they'll still speak to him. So the United States also says that Russia is selling Su-35 fighter jets and indeed trainer jets to Iran. I don't know if that's true or not, but Iran has supposedly been training Russian troops on all sorts of weapon systems. So President Raisi, he only acceded to the presidency in 2022, and his first foreign visit was to Moscow. And that's when they signed this $40 billion deal, and Gazprom, as in Gazpromushestvo, like gas production it means, which is the Russian state gas supermajor, said it will invest all that in oil and gas in Iran. Although that's actually building up a competitor, but never mind. And Russia's supposedly going to construct a railway from Rasht, which is on the Iranian Caspian coast, to Astara on the border with Azerbaijan. The idea is that goods can be transported overland between the two countries, because presently logistics between them are very poor indeed. But that's over 2 years ago, and work on that hasn't even begun. So it's doubtful whether it's going to be completed, maybe not even begun. If it is built, I think it wouldn't be for like decades. Russia's very distracted, just doesn't have the wherewithal to do that. And the Iranian economy has been squeezed for years by sanctions. They don't have a lot of spare capital. So I'm highly dubious whether that project's ever going to come off. But anyway, it's an expression of goodwill, at least, between them. So Russia has taken care to maintain friendly relations with Iran. And relations between Iran and Azerbaijan are frosty. Supposedly, you know, security guards were killed outside the Azerbaijani embassy in Iran. The Azeris are all supposedly rounding up Iranian spies and blah, blah, blah. And relations are tetchy because Iran backs Armenia in its conflict against Azerbaijan. And Armenia and Azerbaijan obviously harbors a desire to retake Azerbaijan province in the northwest of Iran. And that was Azerbaijan until the 1820s, until Russia and Persia split Azerbaijan between them along a certain river. Now, there's no way on earth Azerbaijan with 10 million people can defeat Iran with 80 million people. The Azerbaijanis in Iran, and I know some of them, so far as I know, they've actually got no desire to reunite with the Republic of Azerbaijan. Is only if Iran faced many enemies that Azerbaijan has some sort of a chance. And again, they have got very cozy relations with Israel. Is an important listening post for them. And the Israelis can see, we're not anti-Muslim. We have such good relations with this Muslim country. But anyway, so going on. In 2022, Tehran and Moscow, they decided they would establish a free trade zone between them and the Eurasian Economic Union. The Eurasian Economic Union is Russia, Kazakhstan, Belarus. I can't remember which ones. Is it Armenia and Tajikistan? There's only five of them, these former Soviet states. So that is supposed to be Russia's answer to the European Union. Obviously, it's a pathetic shadow of that. And it doesn't have anything as extensive as a single market. But anyway, it's an effort in that direction. It's been going since 2011. There are all these statements about how they're going to deepen their relationship, but not much actual progress. There's none of it's tangible anyhow. So, but in 2022, trade grew between them 20%. Admittedly, that's partly the economy opening back up after coronavirus. It actually shrank a bit in 2023. But anyway, in 2022, it was worth $5 billion, its highest ever. So there's meant to be a unified payment system between Russia and Iran, but people say that it malfunctions all the time. So they're both under Western sanctions. Now, Iran's had to cope with this for decades, and they've taught Russia the art of sanctions evasion, of course, at which they're adept. It's just survival for them. So Iran Air is flying after decades of Western sanctions. So that gives hopes to Aeroflot. They could do this. The Iranians, well, they'll buy the spare parts from Armenia or Pakistan or whatever. Even though relations with Pakistan are sometimes strained, you know, in Pakistan, you can get anything for money. And that's how the Iranians have kept going. So it also shows how the how relatively ineffectual sanctions are. So grain was one of Russia's main exports to Iran. Obviously, Russia's produced less of that since the war began. Now, that's due to several reasons, partly lack of labor, as men have been drafted into the military, men have fled overseas, although not many working class men have managed to do that. Central Asian migrants who do a lot of the farm work in Russia are moving to Russia less and less. They can get better paid jobs in the Middle East or China or suffer less racism in Kazakhstan, particularly reluctant to go after that spate of xenophobia after the Crocus Hall attack. Anyway, in 2023, the Iranians sold $1.3 billion worth of goods to Russia. Now, Iran used to sell a lot of food to Russia, but they're selling less of that now. Chemicals, construction materials, spare parts for vehicles, things like that. Yeah, Russia is no longer flirting with Israel, and Russia has castigated Israel's war in Gaza, saying this is excessively violent. What you've done is grossly beyond what's needed to achieve your military goals. You're slaughtering civilians and so on. So relations between Tel Aviv and Moscow are strained as never before. So there is no more walking a tightrope for Russia. Russia's eagerly propagandized about this excessive use of force with American supplied arms. And of course, that message goes down very well in the global south. And when the United Kingdom, the United States, they shot down those missiles that the Iranians had aimed at Israel, it drove Iran and Russia into each other's arms. They face a common adversary. They've always both supported the Assad regime in Syria to the hilt. And it's because of them they survived. And indeed, they have amicable relations with with China. I mean, China is occasionally caught spying on Russia, but China does nothing against Iran. Obviously, they can't. The Chinese can't be too close to the Iranians because that would upset China's friends in Pakistan. Anyway, so that's a bit of the lowdown of the geopolitical situation. What do you think? Have I got anything wrong? Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.